Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Coming off the loss of Notre Dame, the Boilermakers are reloading for the start of the Big Ten with back-to-back games at Ross State Stadium starting Saturday with Illinois. We'll review the first quarter of the season, including the loss to the Irish, plus look ahead on Gold and Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Deanhart here, Brian Newbert, in just a couple of minutes. The Boilermakers lose by a couple of touchdowns against Notre Dame. Purdue now 2-1 on the season. Tom, Purdue put itself in position to have a chance in the second half. The man just could not make the plays. Drops were a problem. The offensive line was an issue at times. The inability to run the football. Some of those things we knew would be challenging for Purdue. The drops might have been at least somewhat new. But there was an opportunity. Purdue just wasn't able to make the plays.
Yeah, you're right. You know, first drive of the game, Kyle, looked good. They went down and kicked the field goal, and they got a stop. As a matter of fact, Kyle, Notre Dame had a punt on his first three possessions, you know, begging Purdue, setting Purdue up maybe to build a nice little lead early on. But they couldn't do it. And, you know, I go back to that fourth down stop where Purdue went for it with a quick handoff to Milton Wright on fourth and one, and he got stopped for no gain. Notre Dame takes over, goes down and scores a touchdown, 7-3 Irish, and they never really look back. Sort of your worst fears come realized at that point. The momentum really switched. Purdue showed an inability to convert, you know, a short yardage situation into a first down. And I think you summarized it well. You know, Oregon State and UConn, those programs are one thing, Kyle. Notre Dame is a totally another beast. And then now we're going into the Big Ten, and, of course, the competition will be of similar ilk as the Irish. So the sledding will continue to be difficult. And the question is going to continue to hang over that offense in particular, Kyle. Can it run well enough to keep defenses off balance? I think you would agree with me, though, the other side of the ball, the defense did everything it could to set Purdue up for the win, acquitted itself very well. So they checked a lot of the boxes. The question moving forward here, heading into Saturday, again, rests with that offense.
Yeah, if you're going to take away one big thing that gives you optimism through the first three games, and in particular, I think, coming off the loss to Notre Dame, it is that defense. Now, it gave up several big plays, right? Three of them of more than 40 yards, or I don't know exactly what the stat was, but three big plays that were, you know, maybe if you do one less there, maybe it's a little bit more acceptable. But the general feeling is that that is a group that is flying to the football. It's getting after it. It has embraced this aggressive style. It's getting into the backfield a little bit, though you'd like to see it hit home a little bit more often. But it's a group that if you're Purdue, you feel like you can win with.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, you mentioned Purdue dropping some passes. Notre Dame dropped some too. And then they probably could have had a few other touchdowns, but they didn't. Like you said, Purdue did bleed a few yards and some big plays, but we all knew that was going to happen with the style of defense, right? And we saw that style of defense right from the opening jump. First play of the game, you know, Purdue runs a stunt with his inside linebackers, and Jalen Alexander sacks the quarterback, and on it went all day. We saw a lot of pressure, a lot of different looks, a lot of negative plays. Four sacks in particular, buddy, after having just one as a team coming into that last game. And again, going back to the offense, I'll say this. In the fourth quarter, Notre Dame was ahead 20-13. Purdue got the ball two times with a chance to obviously tie the game and was unable to do it. That's when the Irish sort of blew the lid off the game and scored a couple of touchdowns to push out their advantage. So, yeah, it was right there for the taking for Purdue. Scored like a the Oregon State game, except reverse scenarios, and the Irish finally got it done like Purdue did against the Beavers. So still plenty of things to build on, obviously. And here comes Illinois, Kyle, a team that's lost three in a row. Seems to be in a bit of disarray. Its top two running backs got hurt on Friday night against Maryland. Brandon Peters, a quarterback, is really struggling. I can go on and on with the list of problems Illinois has. So Purdue fans, you know what? You may have your issues, but again, Illinois has got a heck of a lot more.
Yeah, Illinois is losing and losing ugly. What did you think about the way that Jeff Brohm handled the quarterbacks? Jack Plummer had gotten you know, beaten around a little bit, especially on that last possession before he came out of the game, and Purdue switched to Aiden O'Connell, who has had a tendency to spark Purdue late in games before. And while he moved the ball, you know, wasn't able to do enough to get Purdue back into the game. You know, I like that Jeff Brohm said, you know, Plummer's our starting quarterback after the game. To me, it doesn't change anything about what Purdue is doing. I tend to think too much has been made of the switch. We knew that O'Connell coming in was a possibility at some point during the season, and Plummer had been beat up a little bit, and you felt like Purdue needed a little bit of a spark. Now, I think it was unfortunate that O'Connell came in when Purdue was backed up on its own 3-yard line or 1-yard line or whatever it was. But I didn't have a big problem with anything from a quarterback perspective that happened on Saturday, and I feel like Plummer should be the guy this coming Saturday.
Yeah, Jeff Brohm talked about that after the game. Obviously, he was asked about it. Mentioned a lot of things you talked about, Kyle. You know, Jack had been beaten up under some duress. And as you noted, and as fans have seen the first 4+ years of the Jeff Brohm regime, he never hesitates to make a change at any position if he thinks it can spark the team. And that's exactly, I think, was his mindset here. About halfway through the fourth quarter last Saturday up there in South Bend, making the switch, as bizarre as it did seem, to give O'Connell the call with Purdue backed up on his 1-yard line. But, you know, he does throw some darts. He has the ability, I think, to throw better than Jack Plummer. Yes, he was going against largely a prevent defense, but still he made some nice throws and had some unfortunate interceptions off tipped balls. But, again, I like you, Kyle, I don't think I make too much of it. And like Jeff Brohm said Saturday, again, Jack Plummer is still the guy. But, again, don't be shocked if he thinks Aiden O'Connell or even Austin Burton can provide some type of a jump or spark that we all know Coach Brohm would be more than willing to tap that guy on the shoulder and put him in the ballgame.
I know you'll find out more about David Bell at Jeff Brohm's press conference here on this Monday morning. What do we know? Anything at this point other than it seemed like it's not the worst case scenario. He was at least up and going a little bit after the game on Saturday. So there's his status. There's also the other part of this whole wide receiver thing, and that is that Purdue needs another outside receiver to, you know, step up and consistently catch the football. Jackson Anthrop was great in slot. You know, David Bell was solid. You know, he was getting a whole lot of attention. Payne Durham has been good, but that other outside receiver spot been a problem, to say the least. Milton Wright made a great catch, but had some other issues, and nobody else has stepped up there. So what does Purdue do going forward now at the wide receiver spot?
Yeah, you have to kind of roll with who you got at this point. You talked about Milton Wright made a nice touchdown catch moments after David Bell made that spectacular, I think it was a 32-yard grab falling backward. Of course, Milton Wright had a big drop as well earlier in the game, but he's got to be the guy, right? Brock Thompson shows flashes. He caught a couple passes out on the outside. So those are the guys. And, you know, in the slot, they need T.J. Sheffield to do a little bit more as well. So you really need that complementary weapon to a guy like David Bell. And, Kyle, we're not positive at the taping of this Monday morning before Jeff Brohm's pressure about David Bell's status for Saturday. Like you said, he sent out a tweet Sunday night saying he was A-okay. He's walking around. He has his faculties. Thank goodness he's healthy, because that was a scary scene for everybody just to witness. But again, is he going to be cleared to play medically? We'll have to stay tuned. Maybe we'll find out today. So that would be a heck of an X factor not to have number 3 in your lineup. But you're right. That's an offense that needs more big plays, and David Bell is the one sure thing as far as a big playmaker goes. And if they don't have David Bell, boy, who do you turn to if you really want to stretch the field and blow the top off a defense?
Yeah. Well, Purdue has Illinois next. I mean, it just feels like it's the right opponent at the right time, does it?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Nothing is a given. Nothing is a given. I understand that. But, man, Illinois has, since the opening night win against Nebraska, Illinois has just sort of reverted to the form that we thought that it would be.
Yeah, you're right. But they've had a weird little bit of luck here recently in Ross State Stadium. They won the last time. You remember that monsoon? I think they may have won 3 of their last 4 visits over here while Purdue's dominated over there in Champaign-Urbana. And you're right. You never want to take anybody lightly. They got nothing to lose, right? They may go to a youth movement, it sounds like, this week. They got more super seniors than anybody in the country. Doesn't sound like those super seniors are playing to Brett Bielema's liking. They could flip their script and go younger. And I know they've got some good young talent on that roster. So, again, they've got nothing to lose. Maybe we see Arthur Sikowski at quarterback, Rutgers transfer instead of Brandon Peters. So stay tuned. And, you know, Illinois has got nothing to lose. But like you said, I agree, Kyle. This looks like the right opponent at the right time for Purdue. If David Bell is unable to play, you'd like to think the Boilers still would have more than enough to get by an Illini team that, like I said, off the top has lost three in a row here.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tom. We'll look for more updates from Brahms Presser this morning at goldenblack.com. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian Newberg, get his thoughts on the first three games of the season, sort of where Purdue starts at the start of the Big Ten. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket cost for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit of Purdue football after the first three games of the season. The Boilermakers 2-1. They were competitive into the second half against Notre Dame, but came up short, just couldn't make the plays that they did make against a lesser team in Oregon State a couple of weeks before. Brian, has anything changed in your opinion about your expectations for what Purdue can be this season after a 2-1 start?
Not in the big picture, because I think, you know, 2-1 is where most of us reasonably would have thought they would be. I thought Purdue won the games it had to win and lost the game it was probably gonna lose. And now here come two games where, you know, you stack up pretty well, but these are kind of more like Oregon State than UConn and Notre Dame in terms of their difficulty scale.
Yeah.
But the things that, you know, I think maybe changed my perception a little bit after those first two games. It's just, you know, the offense didn't get it done at Notre Dame against the best defense they're going to face. And obviously when you play Notre Dame heading into the Big Ten season, the rest of the games on your schedule are going to be closer to Notre Dame than they are the first two teams you played. So that's a little bit troubling. The injuries are starting to pile up too. And that's, you know, the other part of this. You know, Purdue didn't lose at Notre Dame because they didn't have Xander Horvath and Corey Trice. It didn't help, especially Horvath. But I think that, you know, this is a team with perilous depth in the first place. And, you know, especially if you don't have David Bell for a period of time, obviously we don't know what the situation is there yet, but his importance kind of goes without saying. But, you know, the more guys you lose here, it puts you in a really tough spot here. And, you know, this has been a trend for Purdue here the last couple of years where they've They've just had a lot of injuries for whatever reason. That's kind of football, but it's really been Purdue football. And, you know, the more guys, the more situations they have to deal with in that sense, that certainly lowers Purdue's ceiling, too, in terms of what they're capable of, or at least how much better they have to be in the face of it to be what, you know, they obviously want to be here.
Right. You know, it wouldn't be Purdue without some quarterback talk. Jeff Brohm used two of them on Saturday after he'd used four the week before, but still a little different circumstance there. But he used two quarterbacks against the Fighting Irish. I was telling Tom earlier that I don't have a big problem with the changes. I think it's unfortunate that Aiden O'Connell had to come in backed up on his own goal line like he did. Maybe not the best scenario in which to make that change, but I see why he did it. You know, Purdue was conservative early. I don't know whether the conservativeness was play-calling related or, you know, quarterback related, whether, you know, Plummer himself was being more conservative or whether the play-calling was more conservative. But where do you fall sort of on Purdue's quarterback situation? Plummer will be the guy, I think, and probably should be the guy. But where do you sort of fall on all of that?
Yeah, I think Purdue's committed to Plummer. Purdue should be committed to Plummer. I think that, you know, Purdue's issues at Notre Dame, you know, Jack Plummer wasn't great at Notre Dame. I don't think anybody was, but he wasn't, you know, Purdue's problem. He wasn't the offense's problem. I think a lot went sideways on them up there from an offensive perspective, starting at the line of scrimmage, continuing on with the inability to run the ball, continuing on to the receivers dropping a bunch of passes. So I don't think that, you know, Jack Plummer was so good that he was able to overcome a lot of that stuff that happened around him, but I don't think it's a reasonable expectation for him to be. I think, you know, you want to avoid that situation where now you're back into that weekly question of who's the guy, that kind of thing. You don't want Plummer looking over his shoulder, you know, from here on out. And I don't think that's the case because Brohm came out pretty quickly after that game and redeclared Jack Plummer their starter. This wasn't one of those deals where you come out and you're like, the job's open this week, that kind of thing.
Right.
But now that it's been done, you know, you always worry about that first guy, how he's going to process, you know, the hook kind of hovering over his head. I don't know Jack Plummer well enough to know whether or not that's an issue for him psychologically, but I think that that's something you always have to keep in mind when you make these kind of changes, and I'm sure Jeff Brohm did.
Purdue has a bye week in 3 weeks. These next two games are going to tell us a lot, right? I mean, about where Purdue is headed, whether it's headed to a 6-win postseason, whether it's headed maybe to a little bit better than that, or whether what we've seen here through the first three games is not real, and whether Purdue will fall backward, right? I mean, we're gonna know a lot against Illinois and Minnesota.
Well, these are two of the more winnable games, if not the two most winnable games on paper on your Big Ten schedule here. So these are very important games. You should beat Illinois. You should beat Illinois on your home field. I think you're eye-to-eye with Minnesota in terms of, you know, caliber of teams and all of that stuff. But Purdue's had, you know, had a hard time with Minnesota the last couple of years. Obviously, they were good enough to beat them at their place last year and kind of had that taken away from them by circumstance. But that's better than a 50-50 chance, if you ask me. Minnesota, if you can get games, you know, you're sitting here at 5-1, and you should be feeling pretty good about yourself. And but that being said, the back half of this schedule is a lot more treacherous than the first half. But that's all the more reason you got to get these next two if you can.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Brian.
Yep, see ya.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
It's a big week, including today. We'll take a look at some of those updates about Purdue's injury situation. Look for that news from Jeff Brom's press conference a little bit later on at goldandblack.com. We'll be back, of course, with the pregame podcast. It'll drop around noon on Friday. That'll do it for us for today. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, and for Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.